This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The biggest department that received funding was the Department of Environment Planning, which actually was not all sewers, but was once in a generational type of investment in the sewers, but then in other projects too, including general infrastructure projects. We'll talk about our affordable housing program, $20 million of which was invested in the affordable housing portion of that, $13.5 million for single-family homes and $6.5 million for multi-unit residences, which we'll talk about because we've been able to spur investment in hundreds of new apartments and homes across our community. And then $34 million for our ErieNet broadband open access network. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And I'm pleased to be joined by Melissa Hartman, the executive director of ErieNet, and the work that they're doing there is quite amazing, considering this went from a concept. We had a concept, and then we had concepts of plans, but we actually got things done, unlike others who just seem to have concepts of plans. Our sewer infrastructure, this is going to take some time because there's a lot of it, and I'm pleased to be joined by the Commissioner of Environment and Planning, Dan Castle, and the deputy commissioner responsible for the sewage management division, Joe Fiegel. There has been a big investment in our sewer infrastructure. Nearly $64 million of the entire obligated American Rescue Plan Fund went to our Erie County Sewer Division, of which $56 million was spent by the end of last year. This included collection systems, pumping stations, and treatment plants, as we'll go into right now in a whole lot of detail. The Erie County Sewer Division collection system spent nearly $19 million on replacing pipe all across the county, manholes, lateral connections, new collection system for the maintenance facility for our central region operations. These were projects that Erie County was going to have to do in the near future no matter what, and we were going to have to pay for it out of our own pocketbook. But we were able to use the ARPA funds to actually do these projects that we had to do and have the federal government pay for them. New pumping station, $9.4 million for pumping stations. These are very important. Most people don't realize it, but there's these little pumping stations all across Erie County which help pump the sewage to our treatment plants. These needed to be done. Some of them were actually under like consent orders from the DEC that we had to do. So it's very important that we invested in these pumping stations. The big investment was at the treatment plant upgrades, nearly $36 million in total, $3.3 million at the Big Sister Creek Water facility in the town of Evans, a little less than $8 million at the Lackawanna Wastewater Treatment Facility, a little over $1 million in East Aurora's for control building improvements, a little less than $1 million in Blaisdell, and then $22.7 million for the Southtown's Advanced Wastewater Treatment Facility. This is the one that you see as you're driving out on Route 5, right by Mile Strip. It's the big plant. Everyone sort of knows it's there. And it received the largest amount of funding, nearly $23 million for massive expansion and work that was done there. I also want to know, when we're talking about these dollars and cents, especially on these projects, this put people to work. There were hundreds and hundreds of people who've been put to work as a result of just the investments in the sewer division alone. So we are in phase one of a multi-phase upgrade at the Advanced Wastewater Treatment Facility at the Southtowns plant in Woodlawn. As I said, it's one of the biggest ones in the area, and you really can't miss it when you're driving down Route 5, just past what was the old Bethlehem Steel Complex. And that it was the biggest chunk of the sewage investment. But there was also some other little work that we did associated that came out of the Department of Environment Planning. It included about $3 million in total. included a new water tower for the town of Evans in the agricultural park on Eden Evans Center Road, new water mains in the village of Springville, as well as lines in the town of Lancaster, the village of Akron, the city of Tonawanda, and then $400,000 for the new rural outreach center. These are little projects, but they add up to big money. $3 million is not something to scoff at, but these are projects that needed to be done, and we were able to invest and do them with regards to the funding that we received from the American Rescue Plan. I want to thank Commissioner Castle and Deputy Commissioner Fiegel and their teams for the good work. We still have more work to do with regards to some of the projects associated with the sewage management division, especially at the Advanced Wastewater Treatment Facility, because as we talked, there was a phase one. That means there's a phase two. But this money that we received would have had to have been spent by local taxpayers. Instead, we were able to invest the American Rescue Plan funding and do it, which saved our taxpayers money. Some other smaller projects that we're invested in and are on the way to completion or starting includes the Isleview Park, which kicks off this year, $1.2 million of additional work at Isleview Park. We provided $1 million to the Miracle League project, the upgrade in the town of Grand Island, of which it's 50% complete. We're nearly there with regards to funding that was provided to Olmsted Conservancy to redo some buildings at both South Park and Martin Luther King Park. And then the Botanical Gardens expansion, the county has committed $5 million towards that. Once the expansion begins, that money will go out the door. Another big chunk of the money was $20 million that went for affordable housing. $13.5 million for infill single-family homes, owner-occupied on vacant lands, lots, I should say, in the city of Buffalo, town of Cheektowaga, town of Tonawanda, city of Lackawanna. We are expecting to start construction in the town of Cheektowaga with five of those parcels in April. So the work is starting in the town of Cheektowaga, and we're expecting the work to start in the city of Buffalo later this year. There's going to be modular and stick-built homes. We are expecting this. I want to backtrack a little bit. This is also in conjunction with money that the city of Buffalo is putting in for these projects in the city of Buffalo. So we're going to be seeing dozens of new homes in the city of Buffalo and homes also in Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, as well as Lackawanna. And we know affordable housing is one of the biggest issues in our community, just like it's one of the biggest issues in the country. And we are using some of our ARPA funding for that. So $20 million in total of ARPA funding, 13.5 for single family homes. And then we have already announced, and money's out the door, $6.5 million support multifamily apartment complexes, basically rental projects, affordable housing, of which $5.5 million went to larger multi-development projects with a total development cost of $313 million. And over 700 units that are being created. And then there was $1 million for new and emerging developers, especially in the city of Buffalo, with a total cost of nearly $27 million on those projects, which 48 new units will be built. You see some renderings there of the one at the former Gate Circle and the Harlem Villa Commons. But these are just projects that are going to add to our community by increasing the number of housing units. We need to increase the number of housing units. And so we invested $20 million in total between single family units and the multi-units. And here's a description of the multi-unit in the larger categories. We said 703 new affordable housing units will be coming online as a result of our investment in the private sector's investment. And then there's another 48 that'll be coming online as a result of the new and emerging developers investment. A lot of these premises were vacant parcels or abandoned buildings, and now they're being converted into housing, and it's a really good thing because it's ensuring that we have enough housing units to meet the need in our community. ErieNet, broadband network. We've talked about ErieNet for quite some time since I announced it in my State of the County in 2019, but it is a reality. And it will be up and live later this year. We're hoping to officially flip the switch in October. this is a universal broadband network that is going to underserved areas of our community, but it's also reaching every area of our community. We are built more than 400 miles of, or in the process of laying out more than 400 miles of cable, which I shouldn't say cable, fiber optic, high-speed fiber optic. I don't want people to think it's slow like old cable. And it is going to go everywhere across the county. So every town is getting it. It's connecting to police stations, libraries. It's going to form the backbone of the major system in which there will be final mile providers that will be actually providing service to the home. We've already had contact with a number of them. We have one that we'll be announcing soon that I know is interested in beginning work immediately once the system is up and live. But ErieNet, as you can see on this map here, encompasses the entire county. We also included more miles and lines in the city of Buffalo to address the needs that exist in the city of Buffalo. Construction has begun. There work that is going on. It's been going on for almost a year now. We are waiting for some final work that can be done that has to be on poles associated with National Grid and NYSEG. But we seem to have a pretty good relationship with them, and that seems to be moving forward at a quicker pace than it once was. But $34 million of the American Rescue Plan funding went into ErieNet. And by the end of this year, we will flip the switch, turn it on, and this will provide significantly higher, faster internet speeds for county government, for our partners, as well as for the final mile providers who tap into the system to actually bring that system to the areas of under service in Erie County. I want to thank, as I said, Melissa Hartman, our executive director of ErieNet, for the work of her and her team. We spent, as of December 31st, $11 million has been spent on the operating systems and so forth. More is being spent this year, and we do anticipate that through the rest of 25 and 26 that we'll be adding on additional partners, connecting to additional locations, including the convention center, schools, universities, emergency services, and expand construction so that it can be now added on and used for residential and business use. So ErieNet is going along very well, and by the end of this year, it will become it is a reality, but it will become something that we can take advantage of as a community. Parks, we've had a lot of investment in parks. I'm pleased to be joined by our Commissioner of Parks, Troy Schinzel, and the Deputy Commissioner, Jimbo McDonald, because they've been very busy the last couple of years with regards to investments in our parks and making certain that these projects move forward. A little more than $13 million of American Rescue Plan funds were invested in our park system, expanded the capital program, in a number of areas, including not just shelters, but amenities at the various parks, including even new highways or roads and parking lots, and additional work that was done. But the major stuff that you see is the things that people take advantage of in our parks. And there was $2.7 million that was designated for a lot of the things that people see, like our casino at Chestnut Ridge, the lighthouse at Como Park, shelters across the board, new playgrounds, including the new inclusive playground in Akron Falls. There's a tremendous amount of work that has gone on in our parks and is still going on, but I want to thank the commissioner and the deputy commissioner for the work that his team has done and their teams have done to ensure that these projects not only get done, but they get done on time. And once again, these are, in all likelihood, projects we would have done or had to do, at least in the near future, because of the condition of some of these structures. And we would have had to pay for it out of our own tax dollars. So being able to do it out of the ARPA funds is a huge advantage. And then we have a couple other major ones that we haven't really shown to the public yet, but you're going to see very soon, including the restoration of the Shank House, which is one of the oldest stone homes still in the city of Buffalo. It sits at the Grover Cleveland Golf Course. It was getting to a point where it might have had to been torn down, but has been completely restored, and very soon will be opened using for offices for the Parks Department, as well as a museum to highlight the history of our Parks Department, which is 100 years old. Our park system's 100 years old this year. So We did that at the Schenck House, the Wendt Mansion at Wendt Beach Park. I think a lot of people have seen it kind of boarded up for a number of years. We were in the beginning of a process for the Wendt Beach Mansion and the stables to renovate that. Ellicott Creek Park, Emory Park, shelter upgrades, parking lot upgrades across the board. You name it, it's been done in our Parks Department. And once again, I want to thank the commissioners, as well as the Commissioner of Public Works, Bill Gary, who's here, because there was a tremendous amount of involvement between the Parks Department and the Department of Public Works with regards to these investments and work done at the Parks Department. Here's some more before and after pictures, the parking lot at Chestnut Ridge, the parking lot at Wendt Beach. These are very important because not only you talk about putting in new parking lots, but then you make them ADA accessible, so they're accessible for individuals who are handicapped, making it easier for them to reach casinos, reach the locations they want to go. So thank you to all for the big work that was done in the Parks Department. Then we talk about Department of Public Works. Nearly $25 million of ARPA funds were invested in the Department of Public Works. You see a listing of them here. You also see some pictures of them in the next few slides. It runs the gamut from the convention center facade, which I think people have all seen, and we've seen on national broadcast now is when the convention center is lit. It's really beautiful. We have a new highway barn, which is in the town of Lancaster for one of our highway divisions. It's $5 million. It's just about ready to be opened, and we'll have a dedication ceremony very soon, but it replaced an old barn in the town of Clarence that actually had to be closed because it was physically unsafe. So we were going to have to do the work anyway, and we were able to pay for it out of our American Rescue Plan funds. Then, of course, a lot of people know the Department of Public Works is responsible for the roads. We were able to put additional $5 million into road work. And then there's a project that most people don't understand or know about, which is we're building a microgrid right here on the Rath Building, $8 million project to lower our carbon footprint by allowing us to, through a solar array, actually generate power. Use that as well when we lose power. If the main system is off, we can have that as a backup system. And that's going on right now at the Rath Building. And then we have a few other investments that went on, water tower replacement, new roof at the ECC City Campus, other work. So there was a lot that was done in the Department of Public Works still going on, like the microgrid project. But I just want to thank the commissioner and his team for the work that they've done on these projects, which are making a difference. And will, in the end, the Rath microgrid will also help us generate electricity that we can use ourselves or put back in the grid and make some money off of it. So thank you. Economic and workforce investments. This list keeps on going on. We invested early on during the COVID-19 pandemic $2 million on small business promotion. You may remember the Shop 716 program. That was part of this program. Our Erie County Healthcare Careers Program, $1.6 million was invested early on to create that program, which is now being sustained by county dollars. But nearly 700 residents have gotten pretty much free education to advance themselves in the healthcare field to meet needed positions in healthcare. And I want to thank our partners with the Workforce Buffalo team who played a role in making that happen. And then $3 million was set aside for hazard pay for our friends in the Department of Health primarily and the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, frontline workers who early on during the COVID-19 pandemic were out there when everyone else was at home. And they received hazard pay. And I want to thank Dr. Burstein and her team for the work that they did. It's been 5 years. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years. And we lost way too many people than we should have. But I want to thank those frontline workers who worked very hard in truthfully dangerous conditions. And that's why they were provided hazard pay. And then we also invested $4 million in COVID-19 mitigation early on when we received those funds in late 2021. And the Office of Health Equity. We're joined by not only Dr. Burstein, but the Office Director, Kelly Wooford. The Office of Health Equity was created with a little less than $1 million from ARPA funding, though we've continued that with county funding. We think it's very important to focus on these issues of health equity. We know there's a tax on diversity, equity, inclusion in Washington, D.C. But there's a reason why we created the Office of Health Equity, because it was needed. So no matter what the president may think and do, we're going to continue to invest in equitable health care, equitable areas as well, so we can create the best Erie County possible. So I want to thank the commissioner as well as the director for the work in the Office of Health Equity. Just finally, 100% of our American Rescue Plan funds were obligated prior to December 31st, 2024 deadline, so we didn't lose any dollars because we didn't contract them out before they would. They also did not go into revenue replacement. They just didn't fill holes in our budget. We thought we might have to use it for that purpose early on, and we originally designated a certain portion of it for revenue replacement, but we were able, through strong management from our budget office and our team, avoid those budget holes, and as a result, invest this money back in the community. It was part of our renew plan. Reinvigorate Erie's neighborhoods and employ our workforce, and that's what we did. We employed hundreds and hundreds of people, probably a couple thousand in the long run, on these projects during a very lean time economically. We also are putting in generational investment, once-in-a-lifetime investment in a number of areas, creating not only more housing in our area, but a brand new high-speed internet system, which will be one of the largest publicly owned systems in the country. We've made direct investments that have benefited all areas of the county, and it is something that we can be very proud of. I want to thank all of our partners who played a role in making this happen. We're also joined by our Senior Services Commissioner, Randy Hoke, who has recently joined us after not being there, and I know we certainly, the Senior Services Department really didn't get any direct allocation, but a lot of the funds that they have from a different ARPA fund are going to assist senior service community centers, senior service centers, so it may not be included in the dollar numbers that we talked about here, but they had a whole different pot of money that was received from the American Rescue Plan, and they've been investing it, so I want to thank all our partners for the work that they've done. It's a big, big plan. And it was a big, and were lots and lots of projects. But we're getting it done. 75% of the money is out the door. I fully expect all of it to be spent by the end of the 2026 period. And it, as I said, these will be legacy projects that we can look back on 20, 30 years from now as knowing that they made a difference in our community. Finally, I want to thank former President Joseph Biden, then Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, now the Minority Leader of the Senate, our former Congressman Brian Higgins, and all who supported the American Rescue Plan. These projects would not have happened without it. Not every congressional representative voted for the American Rescue Plan, including some who live in our region. But those areas, even from those congressional representatives, benefited from the American Rescue Plan. So we do need to shout out those who supported it, because without their support, we would not have been able to do those investments, or we would have had to have paid for them ourselves, and we certainly would not have done as many of them. We would have done the bare minimum based on what we could afford. So thank you to all who supported it. And once again, thank you to Karen Gambino for providing the Deaf Access Services assistance today to our Hard of Hearing community. If there are any questions, we'll be glad to answer them at this point.
Just one. So this money came from time that a lot of people are trying to forget about. and the investments are starting to come to light. But I guess, what would life look like for taxpayers if we didn't have this money? These projects would get done, but how different would it be?
The question was, what would it look like to taxpayers if the money hadn't come but we had to do the projects? Well, we would be talking about less work, probably. We wouldn't have done as much. And we would have, in all likelihood, had to raise property taxes because we have an obligation to provide the services to the community. And to do a lot of this work, we would have had to, in all likelihood, raise taxes to pay for it. And we did not have to do that. So without the American Rescue Plan funds, we would have certainly not done as many projects, and we would have certainly, the ones that we did, we just couldn't have paid for it out of our general operating budget. So we either had to borrow money to do them, or we would have had to raise taxes, and so this prevented that from happening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.